All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is June 14th, 2025. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. If you're a fan of rain, we've had some hot days. Last couple of days, very summery, but today, rain. But you know what? It's great. Love rain. Great vibe. Cools everything down. I was supposed to actually do a paddling thing today. Kind of screwed up on my schedule. I had sort of committed to it and forgot to block out my book. And then the book filled up and had to back out of the event. I was a little bummed out. My son has been paddling, which is really cool. And I was looking forward to trying to paddle with him. But honestly, I have, I got to make some money. It's been slow. And I cannot pass up opportunities to make a little cheese. So I chose that, and I'm grateful that I did, because it actually turned out to be a decent day. So yeah, besides that, all is good here on the east side of the country. I hope it's great wherever you are at. Interesting day today. Big protest day. Somebody asked me, you know, it's really unfortunate that we have such a divide, because we literally cannot speak to one another anymore. It's over. The conversations between the two are over. And I got some finger waving at me the other day. He's like, "You going to the protest?" And I was like, "No, I'm not." And he thought that was really stupid. And whatever. I don't know. I personally believe I support the president. Sorry. I'm not a liberal, or I'm not a Democrat, or a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. And we have debt issues, and, you know, I used to live in California. Interesting place to live. I lived there for 9 years, became quite the drug addict living out there. I'm not blaming California, but it was definitely a great place to become one. And, but yeah, it's unfortunate, but now we can no longer talk to one another. We are so divided, and which is a shame. I really thought that after the election, we would somehow get back together, but nah, it's over. We are two parties now, two sides, two different beliefs, and I don't think there's any mending that divide, so it's unfortunate. But yeah, that's what's going on today. I don't know when I did the podcast last. I've had a good week, good couple weeks. I don't think it's been 2 weeks. I went to the meeting on Wednesday, and of course, you know, we had our business meeting. I think I shared in the podcast that we had an incident where a certain person brought a certain person, and certain people at the meeting made certain comments, which made certain person uncomfortable. And then we had to have an emergency meeting to basically scold the home group. I'm like, geez. This certain person let this certain group know that she no longer feels safe bringing certain people because certain people make comments. And I'm like, you know, and I'm being very vague, because honestly, it's, you know, it's silly, but, you know, like, you know, our country, right? I mean, I have my beliefs, and I'm pretty set in them, and other people have their beliefs, and they're pretty set in them, and this person's pretty set in their beliefs and the solution. And, you know, I got a little annoyed, right? I got annoyed when we had the emergency business meeting, and I was really annoyed when this topic came back up, because she said that she no longer feels safe bringing anybody with a vagina to this group. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, I think we have to remind ourselves, right? You know, and honestly, you know, nobody should say anything to anybody that makes anybody uncomfortable. But you have to remember, we're all coming to recovery, trying to learn who we are, why we are, why we did what we did, and how to be better. And, you know, some of us are new at it, some of us are in the middle, and some of us are at the end. And we can't put expectations on people who honestly are just trying to figure it out. And I remember when I first came into the program, one of the top things on my list of things wanting to do was meet a decent person, right? A decent girl. And because up until this point, I'd really only hung out with drunks and bums like myself, and that was going nowhere. And I definitely wanted to find someone to have a relationship with. Now, I am not the guy that's doing the catcalling, and I never will. But, you know, some people are, you know, they're new, man. They're just like, they're feeling their oats, right? And so something was said to this person, and this person felt uncomfortable. And I said before, and it's been brought up, I personally feel like this is an excuse, you know, not to go to meetings, right? I'm not going to that meeting, right? They're just all wolves and devils, right? They surround you, and they tell you, you can't go there, you can't go there. They're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And man, that is all the journey on recovery. But I feel like when situations like that come about, you know, it really needs to be handled at the moment. You know, I feel like if there was a situation where somebody said something to somebody, that person should have pulled that person aside and said, hey, man, you know, this person's new. We don't want them to feel uncomfortable. You're new, right? We're trying to be better. And it should have really been nipped in the bud at that moment, because to bring in a whole home group and scold the whole home group. And I could tell you, you know, when I get to that meeting in the evenings, you know, I usually sit out front. I usually get there a half hour early, sit out front with a bunch of guys and ladies, you know, whoever's out there. And, you know, nobody's sitting around talking about, you know, pouncing on people. So I was a little bothered that the whole home group took the beating. And it was probably just one person, and they probably weren't even a member of the home group, I'm guessing. You know, we have a lot of guys come in from recovery houses, halfway houses, whatever it is, and, you know, we're all new to this. So it was interesting. It's a shame. Part of me is like, you know, I feel like saying that. I did talk to my sponsor about it, and he agreed. It should have been handled at that moment. But, you know... Prior to this meeting, that past meeting, I was like, I'm not going to this meeting anymore, you know? And it's just the typical same old shit, you know? You never know what's coming around the corner. Peace of Mind, one of my favorite albums in the entire world. I remember it like it was yesterday, ninth grade. It was the album that introduced me to partying, I think, or at least that sort of mentality. It was pretty funny back in those days. They believed everything on the devil and satanic music. And yeah, I was like, what are they talking about? I sort of get it today. I don't think, I don't know. It's a great album. Absolutely love Iron Maiden. But so yeah, that was that's sort of what was going on the other day. I am, you know, I'm just letting it go. I shared before in the other day, you know, I'm just trying to prevent arrogance from showing up. I'm trying to prevent inconvenience from showing up. And I'm trying to, you know, mind my P's and Q's and keep my mouth shut and just let the process happen. And so I said nothing. I did talk to my sponsor about it. One of the things that bugged me was that this person went through Facebook. Went through Facebook, finding people in the meeting to find out who it was. And that just didn't feel right. You know, this isn't an anonymous program. We're not really supposed to go rifling through. I mean, I don't know. It didn't feel good when I heard her, when I heard the person say that. I was like, geez. So anyway, I'm just going to leave it alone. It is what it is. I just mind my own P's and Q's, stay in my lane, and hope for the best. But yeah, it is Saturday. I went to a meeting last night, my Friday night meeting, and it was great, man. You know, I've had my ups and downs with that meeting, and just like a lot of people have because of, you know, certain situations. But I can tell you, coming through all that and on the other side, I'm a better person. And, you know, I shared many times about my buddy Jim. Him and I are getting along fantastic. And I really do appreciate him. I was, it was an unfortunate situation that had to happen, and it was my fault. But it was just a reminder that, you know, you're not perfect at this. You're far from perfect at this. You're far from perfect at being a human. And when situations like that come up, I have to be willing to be accountable, right? And obviously, we prefer not to get into situations like that, but they happen. It happens sometimes. And, you know, I shared, I dug my feet in for a couple days, but finally, you know, better heads prevailed. And I made the phone call and I apologized. And I'm aware of it. I can see, you know, what was going on, and I'm trying to be better. And so it was a great meeting. A buddy of mine spoke last night, who I really think is awesome. He's got a bunch of time. And, you know, I loved his message. And basically, the topic was bondage of self, right? You know, I definitely identify as a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, which means all I care about is me, and I don't have any God in my life. And, you know, at this point in my life and in my recovery and in my spiritual journey, I believe that self is a devil. It is the main devil. Self, selfish, inconsiderate. Do not think of others, only thinking of ourselves, doing whatever we want, and not concerned about who is affected. And that is me in a nutshell, or at least, well, I mean, it's probably still me in a nutshell, right? I mean, I don't think we get rid of it. I think we just become aware of it. And we try not to, or I try not to get into situations where, you know, that happens. And, you know, even like that incident with Jim, that was taking back my comfort, right? Me being inconvenienced, self coming out, and then reacting in a way that was just not spiritually healthy. And then suffering, right? Suffering the wrath of God. And when I say that, you know, just this intuition in my heart that says, man, you need to make a phone call and apologize and beg for forgiveness. I prefer to call that God. Call it whatever you want. But to me, I've done this long enough. It is a spiritual battle. And honestly, all this stuff going on, you know, in with politics, to me, it's all a holy war. You know, this is good and evil. And it is, it's a holy war, man. And so the bondage of self. And I remember coming into the program, just a guy that drank too much, right? A drunk driver who got in a lot of fights with a big mouth and had basically made my life inconvenient for everybody else. And what that is just all of my behavior, I didn't care. You know, I think I might have shared in the podcast, really, it turns out this program really just wants us to be good people and care. And, you know, the incident with my buddy Jim, I could have, you know, old Tom would have been like, I don't care what he thinks. I don't care if I was wrong. I don't care if I should be accountable and making amends. I don't care. I don't care, and it's just a trail of wreckage behind me, right? One of the great things about this program, which I shared before, is I don't have to wake up, right, looking over my shoulder and having the smell of burning bridges, right? I don't have to burn bridges like I used to. And because today, through the steps of this program, I care, right? I just care. And but a bondage of self is, right, is someone like me who just doesn't care. They are more important with self. And, you know, when I came to the program and I started to slowly understand that, one of the cool things that he shared last night is that it was about 12 years into recovery that he started to understand this bondage of self, right? And it's everywhere. It's hard to completely get rid of it because, you know, even in his share, he's like, you know, for those of you who've heard this story, I apologize, right? That's self, right? That's self coming out and saying, like, you know, I don't want to bother you folks with my story twice, so I'm going to preempt it with this, I apologize. And that is self again, right? It's just hard to get away from. The cool thing was I had never heard the story. The story that he shared was fantastic. I'd never heard it. And so, you know, but this is that it's this weird thing that happens. You know, it's obvious to look at some of my behavior, actually all of my behavior prior to, I mean, even in sobriety, some of my behavior, and seeing how selfish it is, meaning just I just didn't care. But it's not as easy to see the little things, the little selfish things that, and you know, character defects, right? It's basically self, right? I'm, you know, if I'm a liar, right, I'm lying, and I'm lying to people, and I don't care, right? If I'm stealing, I'm stealing from people, and I don't care. It's all devil. And, but the little things, like sarcasm, right? These little, you know, I always say the sixth step is all the character defects that we do publicly, and the seventh step is all the character defects that happen privately. I might be wrong. I don't know. It's real easy for me to look at it that way and sort of get a grasp on it. But it's the seventh step. It's those little things that we do that don't seem like they're obvious. You know, I'm not stealing, right? But, you know, if you tell someone you're going to be there at a certain time, right, and then don't show up, you're stealing time, right? You're stealing their comfort. And so it's all self, right? I shared last night, I came in this program with 11 angels and or 11 devils and one angel, all self, right? And over time, right, through these steps, we learn how to chip away the boxes. Somebody shared a story that they had talked to, I don't know, whoever chiseled out, you know, David, you know, the marble statue of David. And they said, how did you do that? And he said, David was always there. I just had to chip away the rest of the marble to show that he was there. And I thought that was a great, you know, example of recovery because, you know, I've shared before about the Corvette, you know, someone pulls up, parks a brand new Corvette in your front yard and then goes in your garage, throws the keys inside the garage and fills the garage with boxes. You have a Corvette, but you can't get to the keys because it's covered with boxes. And on each box, it's some sort of character defect or some form of self that we have to address. And over time, you know, we can chisel away to the direct path to the keys, but we're still surrounded by walls on each side of stuff. And, you know, what do they say? You do the work until the pain stops. And sometimes, man, we don't bump into the sides of that walkway that leads us to the keys. But when we do, it hurts. And we're reminded, you know, I still have work to do. And, but, it, you know, I thought what was most interesting is that he said he didn't start to understand this until about year 12. And I personally agree. I'm sort of the same thing. It was around year 12, 13, that I started to have this sort of epiphany, this spiritual awakening, this revelation of really what my true problem was, which is this bondage of self. And I'd heard about it. You know, I'd read about it, conversations were had about it, but I wasn't really willing or ready. And, You know, but situations would come up, and they've come up over time, and they're sometimes unfortunate, but, you know, they're milestones where hopefully we can, you know, get a different angle and start to realize, you know, it isn't what we thought, and we can make adjustments, and we can start to see how these steps, you know, work. You know, I've tried to be sober 4 times. 3 of them I had to, and 1 I wanted to. And the time that I wanted to, I started to understand how these steps were working. It's not punishment, right? Make a list of character defects because I'm a bad person, right? No, it's so that I can start to understand, you know, what they are and what's behind them. You know, it's all self. And then even when we start to understand self and we start to find humility, we can still do humble things with self even fucked up in there too. So it's hard to see it all for what it is, for me at least. But it was probably about year 12 that I started to kind of, I can't really timeline it, but I remember there was a period before the pandemic where I had sort of stopped going to meetings. I was feeling cynical. I was being critical, judgmental, all self, right? Of other people and, you know, taking other people's inventory. You know, I was sort of dropped in the middle of recovery. And then we had the pandemic and we didn't have any meetings. And that was definitely a time of reflection. And if any time I needed probably meetings, it was then. But I was sort of, you know, in a bad mood about the whole thing. And we went a couple years, maybe a few years without any meetings. And I remember when the meetings opened up and I came back for my first meeting and I was crying. My water was coming out of my eyes because I was so grateful. It was really around then when I started to kind of, you know, learn about, to me, you know, and they're all, for me, it's, you know, and I love to say devils and angels, but, you know, where I really started to see, it's not just one devil and one God, it's a whole crew and they all play different roles. And one can bring another and, you know, and started to understand. And then, you know, the other thing that was interesting is when I saw RFK Jr. and he started talking about the spiritual malady. And I was like, it just for some reason clicked in my head. You know, I just have too many devils and not enough angels in my life. And, you know, the third that we're powerless over alcohol and our lives have become unmanageable. That is a humble move. That is really for me the first step that I made towards a higher power. That was my first, you know, to admit, you know, I wasn't admitting anything, right? And so to admit, right, it had to take a little humility. And, you know, the first 3 times they came in, I'm like, yeah, fine, I admit it, right? But the 4th time I came in, I'm like, I admit it. I cannot drink. I am sick and I need help. And, that was my first beginning with a relationship with a higher power, right? And then the second step, it says, you know, we trust and just believe in something. And then the third step, you know, and I was talking to somebody at the meeting last night who had 7 months and they were on the 7th step. And I, you know, I wanted to say, you know, don't forget, man, don't get too far ahead. That 3rd step is so important, right? Even when, you know, we're making decisions, right? Just to come to a meeting, right? Just to ignore the voices, just to keep my mouth shut. These are all humble choices, right? Every choice I make that's in that sort of vein is a building a relationship with God, right? You know, if I live a life of bad, you know, and I've shared before back in the San Diego days and then New Mexico days, you know, it wasn't a life of bad. It was just a life of self. And unfortunately, there were people that were affected, my parents and, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, I'd just become used to that, right? And then when something good would happen, I'd be like, oh, my God, this is amazing. And it's just the opposite, right? When we start coming to the program, we start working that 3rd step and we start making better choices, right? If it's just to admit, right, we admit we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. There's an opposite choice of that, which is to say, I'm fine, right? I don't have a problem. You have the problem. I don't have the problem, right? That is old behavior. But when I said finally, I admit it, you know, that's the first of hopefully a lot of good choices, right? But that third step allows us to just start making good choices, right? And after we do that for a while, when we do, right, make a bad choice, we feel it, right? Because the left side is all hopefully in a humble, you know, walking with God, not living in that bondage of self. Because I can tell you, self doesn't want to admit that we're powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. You know, I always compare self to like just a bad friend. You know, I used to have my buddy Rob when I lived in San Diego, man. He was my self-promoter, right? He was always like, let's do this, let's do that, forget about this, forget about work. You know, and he was a good guy. You know, we were just doing the same old shit. But, you know, he was the guy that was like, you know, do it, do it. I didn't have anybody saying, don't do it. You know, maybe my parents. And I didn't even, you know, I didn't live with them. But, you know, that's that guy. And that's the guy that comes with us when we come into recovery. And believe me, when I said, I'm a man and I'm powerless over alcohol and my life has become unmanageable, my buddy Rob would be like, don't say that. Come on. You're not an alcoholic. Stop. Right? But it is our first choice in that third step to turning our will, our thinking, and our lives, our action over to the care of a higher power or a God of our understanding. Right? Because the fact is, I don't understand. I have no understanding of what God is. But if I continue to make bad or good choices, and then when I do slip and make a bad choice, I start to understand my relationship with the God of my own. Feel it. It's a pain. It's a sadness. It doesn't go away. It's an urgency. And, you know, in the old days, I would ignore it and I wouldn't care. I didn't care what was going on. I didn't care who was hurt. All I cared about was what I wanted to do. And that was the top of my list. So, you know, it is a process. It definitely takes time, but it is amazing. It's an amazing process. And I'm just super grateful. You know, but I think it's a great topic, you know, because like I said, I came in here because I got caught too much, right? I didn't realize I had a bondage of self. I've shared before, you know, I remember going to this pizza party and all I could do was look at that pizza and, you know, eat so fast because I wanted to make sure I got 2 to 3 slices, right? I didn't care about what anybody else wanted. I wanted to get 2 to 3 slices. And that was way before I ever started drinking or drugging. So this has been an issue probably since I was born, right? It might even play a key role in our lives early on, but at some point it really becomes an issue. And it was a good meeting. Let me read the daily reflections and then I'm going to get out of here. I did not sleep well. I think I might take a nap. Let's see. Daily reflections. I wonder if it has to do with self. That would be cool. All right. When the going gets rough, June 14th, it is a design for living that works in rough going. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 15. When I came to AA, I realized that AA worked wonderfully to help keep me sober. But could it work on real life problems? Not concerned with drinking? I had my doubts. After being sober for more than 2 years, I got my answer. I lost my job, developed a physical problem, my diabetic father lost a leg, and someone I loved left me for another. And all this happened during a 2-week period. Reality crashed in. Yet AA there to support, comfort, and strengthen me. The principles I had learned during my early days of sobriety became a mainstay of my life. For not only did I come through, but I never stopped being able to help newcomers. AA taught me not to be overwhelmed, but rather to accept and understand my life as it unfolds. Wow. All right. Well, listen, you know, it's a great topic, bondage of self. It is a thing. I hope everyone has a great day, and I will catch you later. Bye.
Smile.